I'm Armin Alney. You don't have to go to a Chinese restaurant to get Chinese food. The U.S. imports billions of pounds of fish and vegetables, mushrooms and garlic from China, a country infamous for food safety problems. Is China cleaning up its act, or do we need to worry? That's later on To the Point. First, this story. We Care for California is a coalition of healthcare providers planning a mass rally tomorrow in Sacramento. The target is Governor Brown, who has been reluctant to use new state revenue to restore cuts in the Medi-Cal program. Dan Weintraub is editor of the California Health Report at healthycal.org. Good to have you back on our show.
Good to talk to you, Juan.
Tell us about these cuts. The governor is reluctant to pledge new money because he thinks it might be one-time money.
Yeah, well, the economic recovery and some changes in the tax code have created an unexpected windfall that some people, including the governor, think may not last. And restoring these cuts to the Medi-Cal program would cost, I think, about $500 million a year. So he's resisting that, saying if you commit to that kind of spending and the revenue doesn't continue, the state's going to be right back into the deficit problems that he's tried so hard to overcome.
How much do the cuts involve actual services to people who qualify for Medi-Cal, which is for those who have the lowest incomes in California, and how much are cuts in payments to providers?
Well, this issue really is focused on the payments to providers, but a lot of people believe that that's one and the same. If you cut the provider rates too low, there's nothing to force a doctor or a clinic or other medical provider to see a Medi-Cal patient. And as it is, if you're on Medi-Cal, it can be very difficult to find a doctor who will take that coverage. So folks are saying if you cut those rates another 10%, which is what the governor's been trying to do, fewer and fewer doctors will accept Medi-Cal patients, and you effectively cut their services.
Now, what about the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, which will bring another million or so people into Medi-Cal? It's going to be expanded. What will that mean for the providers themselves? Will they be able to deal with the increased demand?
Well, as I said, there's a shortage of doctors seeing Medi-Cal patients now. If you add another million people to those roles, as the health care reform law will do in January, it's pretty clear it's only going to get more difficult to find a doctor who will serve a Medi-Cal patient. Now, those million people, many of them now have no access to care, so they will probably welcome the chance to try their luck at finding a doctor who will see them through the Medi-Cal program. But there's going to have to be some big changes to the way care is delivered, and the medical industry is already working on that, perhaps using nurses, nurse practitioners and physician assistants and nurses to do some of the preliminary work that is now done by doctors and bringing MDs only in for things that only a doctor can do.
Is there also going to be an increase in managed care programs as opposed to fee-for-service?
The state is gradually shifting all of its subsidized medical programs to managed care. So, yes, that is part of the plan, and that's part of the belief that managed care, if done correctly, can keep people healthier and in the long run lead to fewer doctor visits, not more, particularly people with chronic illnesses like diabetes and heart disease who have trouble managing their medications and other therapies. That's costing them heartache and costing the taxpayers billions of dollars now. And there's some hope that through better managing that care and getting people on the right medications and only the medications they need, you'll keep them healthier and keep them out of the doctor's office.
Keep them healthier rather than fixing them once in a while at great expense.
Absolutely.
How is the rollover or the rollout, I guess I should say, of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, as it's officially called, going in California?
Well, from the perspective of planning and putting pieces together for the launch, it appears to be going pretty well. So far, the state has created this health exchange, which is going to be an online and telephonic marketplace where over 5 million people who don't get insurance through the job will be able to go and compare insurance plans on an apples-to-apples basis. It's going to make it much easier to shop for insurance, and millions of those people will be eligible for subsidies from the federal government. But we still don't know when they roll it out, officially flip the switch on October 1st. We don't know yet how people are going to react to that. Everybody's going to be required to buy insurance by January 1, but if you don't buy it, the penalties are significantly less than the cost of buying the coverage, even with these subsidies in many cases. So the big fear is that a lot of people, particularly healthy people and young people, might stay out of the market, and that could skew everything.
Penalty's going to get high, but at the moment it starts out at just $95 a year.
Yeah, and coverage would cost two or three times that per month for some people. So, of course, if you don't buy the coverage and you get sick, you don't have insurance. But under the new law, which is a major change, even if you've been sick, you can walk in the door and buy insurance at any time. So you might lose out on a few months of coverage of whatever your ailment was. But many people who are short of funds will probably roll the dice and not buy the insurance until they have medical bills that exceed the penalty.
Again, Dan Weintraub is the editor of California Health Report at healthycal.org. Peter V. Lee is executive director of Covered California. That is the agency established by the state in order to implement the Affordable Care Act. Peter Lee, good to have you on our program.
Great to be with you, Warren.
You got until October 1st. Is it beginning to look like the deadline is getting awfully, awfully close?
Actually, things are looking good. I mean, we were very happy about our announcement last week of the plans we'll be offering across the state with very competitive rates, with a good mix of national plans, local plans, and we're ready to roll out this summer with what's going to be a very broad education campaign to actually talk about the facts instead of all the hyperbole that's been generally out in the media up till now.
What do you mean by national plans, local plans? What's the distinction? It sounds like there are new categories of coverage that haven't been heard of before.
No, it's actually, let's bring it home to Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, there's going to be six different health plans. A couple of them are national plans, like HealthNet and Anthem or WellPoint, which are big national plans. Some are very much California-centered plans, like Blue Shield of California and Kaiser Permanente. But also we have in L.A., L.A. Care, which is one of the bigger Medi-Cal plans that's saying, you know, we've got deep roots in L.A. We have good relationships with clinics, with doctors. We want to expand our reach and provide services to a broader population. Same thing with Molina. So we have a really good mix of choices for consumers in L.A. and the same thing across the state. Every part of the state, people will be able to choose from multiple health plans, pick the plan right for them. And for many, and as Dan noted, about 2.5 million Californians will get federal help, just like we all get from our employer if we have a job to help buy insurance. But that federal help will make health care affordable. They use that money to pick the private plan they choose.
So how long will they have to do it?
Well, we will start doing enrollment in October. That takes effect January 1, 2014. We're going to be having something that everyone's going to get used to, which is called open enrollment. And during that period, which goes from October through March, you can enroll. And every health plan, both in Covered California and in the private market at large, has to take you. They cannot turn you away because you've, you know, had a hiccup in the past or asthma or diabetes. Guaranteed issue. If you don't enroll during that period and you decide, as Dan said, you're going to roll the dice and wait until you get sick and you come around in June, you will not get insurance. The insurance is only going to be guaranteed issue during that open enrollment period. You'll be taking a big risk.
Peter Lee, executive director of Covered California, which is rolling out the implementation of the president's Affordable Care Act. Chad Terhune has been studying the health insurance plans that will now be available to Californians who aren't insured by their employers, pay for their own, or don't have health insurance at all. Chad, good to have you on our program.
Thanks for having me.
Back to what Peter Lee just said. What about these plans in Los Angeles? What can you tell us about them?
He's right. You got several different options. Just to give people an idea of what the premiums might be, that was the big question on a lot of people's minds when the plans and rates were unveiled. But they run the gamut for, say, a 40-year-old for a silver plan, which is kind of a middle-of-the-road plan. You'd go from the low of $242 a month from HealthNet on up to Kaiser Permanente, a name many people would know, $325 a month. Now, that said, many people will pay less than that because there are those federal premium subsidies. So based on your income, you could get a lot of help toward those premiums, but some people will pay those full amounts.
There are some hospitals that aren't insured and aren't included at all, including Cedars-Sinai. How did that work out?
Well, if you ask the insurers, look, what did you do to, you know, come up with these premiums and get ready for the exchange? Men said, look, we went back to our doctors and hospitals and we tried to negotiate better rates. You know, they were trying to drive down what they have to pay for care, so hopefully they could charge a lower premium because affordability is a key thing here for many consumers. So one way you do that is you narrow the network. You limit it to a smaller number of doctors or hospitals. You give them some more volume, and hopefully they give you a better rate. So yes, you would have instances where Cedars-Sinai Medical Center right now is not in any of the exchange plans. Somebody like UCLA Medical Center and their doctors, they're only in the Anthem Blue Cross exchange plans right now. So some of those details may change as things get worked out. But for some consumers, that would be a surprise. For some uninsured people who don't ever go to the doctor, it'd probably be less of an issue. But there could be some fewer choices for some people. But even some consumer advocates say, look, something had to give here. There had to be some trade-offs if we want to keep the price down.
Peter Lee, back to you, Executive Director, Covered California. That could be disappointing for people who want to go to Cedars-Sinai or want to go to UCLA, but they can't find a plan that makes it affordable.
Well, across the state, more than 80% of the hospitals are in one of the plans we're contracting with, the vast majority of physicians. What we're going to be doing is educating consumers when they make their choice. If you care about a particular hospital, look into that before you pick the plan. And some people do care, and we'll encourage that with a tool that when people come to Covered California, they can actually look up their doctor, say, Dr. Ramirez, which health plans is he in or she in? And that's something that we think is really important. Consumers need to become informed about what matters, but what matters first to them is affordability. For all the talk about the penalties and the requirement is the reason people don't have insurance is they can't afford it. And they aren't sitting there waiting to be penalized to get insurance. They're waiting to find an affordable product, and that's what we're putting on the shelf.
Chad Terhune, back to you. If you're 40 years old, have a silver plan, as you indicated earlier, you can pay between $242 a month and $325. How much do those plans differ in terms of what they cover and what they let you do?
Well, I think that is one good thing you can say about the exchange for like a silver plan. It really is apples to apples. All the silver plans from HealthNet, from Anthem Blue Cross, Blue Shield of California, they have the same deductibles, same copays to go see the doctor, the same maximum out-of-pocket that you would pay for the year. So really, for the first time, you have health insurers competing both on price and some of these network issues, which doctors or hospitals do they have. So that would be a major change for consumers, really able to kind of sift through their options, really line up plan to plan. Now, within the exchange, you have different, they call them metal levels. So we're talking about the silver plan, which is kind of middle of the road. Then you have a cheaper, less coverage, a bronze, and then it goes up from there. You have silver, gold, and platinum would be the most expensive plan, would offer the most coverage. So within those comparisons, like just say on silver, really, the plan and the benefits are all the same.
And Peter Lee, it's very important, is it not, that young people sign up for this as they are required to do rather than just paying the $95 a year penalty?
It is. And I want to note that the penalty, it's $95 or 1% of your income, whichever is greater. So if you make $20,000, it would be a $200 penalty. If you make $30,000, a $300 penalty. So that $95 is the minimum. It's going to be more. But again, people are standing away from insurance not because of a penalty. It's because they can't afford it. And we've talked to hundreds of young people that are saying, you know, I actually am worried about losing my car, about what would happen if I had to go to see a hospital and I end up with a $50,000 bill, a $100,000 bill. Across the board, on all these plans, there's a maximum out of pocket. And even that cheapest plan, that bronze plan that Chad referred to, which again, it costs 50%, or not 50%, it's like $200 a month. You can get a bronze plan for a 40-year-old in LA. Well, you'd be guaranteed you'd never have to spend more than $6,300 a year, even if the worst thing happened. And you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars if something bad happens. And young people know that. They don't want to go into debt for the rest of their life because they have a accident on their skateboard, skiing, or while they're driving across town.
Dan Weintraub at the California Health Report. All that we've been talking about applies to everybody that is not covered by their employer with insurance. Is it all, however, going to have an impact on those policies as well?
Sure. Employers are going to have their own health exchange, small employers, where they can go and pool their employees with other companies to try to get, the Covered California will get leverage with the insurance industry that way. So today, you know, IBM or Boeing, these massive companies, they self-insure, but companies essentially use their thousands of employees to share the risk and drive down rates of coverage for everyone. But a small business with 50, 60, 80 employees can find it very difficult to do that. Peter can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe those companies will be allowed to go into their own exchange and buy coverage the way individuals will do in the exchange we've been speaking about earlier.
Peter Lee, will there be companies, do you think, that adjust the way they pay people in order to avoid having to cover them with insurance?
Yeah, we really don't know. I mean, we're going to have a lot to learn as we implement the Affordable Care Act. A couple of things I think are really important to understand about: for the 85% of Californians that get health care coverage through their employer, things don't change in January 1, 2014. Large employers will be subject to a penalty. If they stop offering coverage, they'll offer it, but 98% offer coverage. Small businesses, those that Dan were talking about, 2 to 50 employees, they can come to Covered California, and we can offer choice to their employees, but they don't have a penalty if they don't offer health insurance. Small businesses are struggling. Many don't provide insurance. There's no penalty, but if you have insurance through your employer, keep it. What we're doing starting 2014 is to provide a way for all Californians to get access to the leg up to get health care. And that's a big deal.
Okay, and it all starts on October 1st. We'll talk to you between now and then. In the meantime, thanks for being with us today. Peter Lee, Executive Director of Covered California, Dan Weintraub of the California Health Report, and Chad Terhune of the Los Angeles Times. Good to have all of you on our program.
Thanks a lot, Warren.
We'll be right back with Which Way LA.
You're listening to Which Way LA from KCRW. Share your comments about today's show at kcrw.com/whichwayla. Or join the conversation on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter, at WWLA.
Warren Olney back with Reporter's Notebook on Which Way L.A. Omar Bradley was sometimes known as the gangster mayor of Compton. He wrote a book called The King of Compton. He served from 1993 till 2001 when he was defeated for re-election. He did prison time on corruption charges before a judge overturned his conviction. Now he's running for another term. Saul Gonzalez talked with him and his young challenger, Asia Brown. Saul, great to have you in the studio.
Nice to be here, Warren. And you know what strikes me about the Compton race? You know, we just came off of this race here in Los Angeles, right? Gruhl versus Garcetti. The dig against both of those people, they were basically the same person. That is not the case in the Compton election. At least when it comes to style and when it comes to symbolism, there is a grand canyon between these two.
And age and experience,
yeah. And the vet here, the old guard, is Omar Bradley. He's a man who held this position before. He was mayor for most of the 1990s through 2001. He got voted out of office. After that, he had a corruption probe, was charged with corruption for misusing a city credit card. But now he's back, and he says that he's the right man for the job in Compton right now, and this is Mr. Bradley speaking.
I think they need my brand of leadership. It's somewhat coarse, no doubt. I can be abrasive, but I know how to get the job done. And, you know, I've tried to work on those parts of me that can be offensive.
You know, when you were mayor before, you called yourself, or you were called the King of Compton, the gangster mayor. Have you stepped back from that kind of image?
I don't lament it, but I understand it was born of my ignorance. You know, I don't think I have to be right all the time now.
You're mellow, Omar Bradley.
You gotta be, because either Mother Nature or Father Time is going to slow you down.
Okay, Omar Bradley, who's his opponent?
His opponent is Asia Brown. She's 31 years old, graduated from USC, has a degree in urban planning, has worked both in the city of Compton and in other cities. And if Omar Bradley is kind of the Camaro of the race, she's the Prius. She said, you know, she talks about urban planning issues. She talks about common sense approaches to Compton's problems, cleaning up City Hall. And she also talks a lot about her opponent. I mean, obviously, he is one of the big issues in this race. And here's Ms. Brown talking about Omar Bradley.
I think that he's very nostalgic. I think that he plays on people's remembrance of, you know, the Compton of yesteryear. You know, in reality, he was voted out of office well before he encountered his legal challenges. And so I think that, you know, once you kind of go back 5 years and 10 years and really go back 20 years, things can get a little bit cloudy. But when we look at the facts, you know, people weren't as happy as he claimed that they were. That's why he was voted out of office. And so I think that it's just time for a new day in Compton. I think that he was a great charismatic leader in his time, but I just think we're in a new era.
He was defeated by Eric Paradin, who is now lost in a primary to these two candidates, including Omar Bradley.
You know who's also in that race? Rodney Allen Rippey, if people remember him. The child star, he actually ran for mayor of Compton.
This is Compton we're talking about.
What can I say? No other town, maybe, in Southern California. But, you know, the thing with Omar Bradley is if you're a supporter of him, you will say, oh, he's rough around the edges. He's a lovable rogue, but he gets the job done. If you don't like him, though, you'll say, this man did things that were, you know, ethically questionable, and he got nailed for it. Specifically, he was accused of misusing city credit cards and charging things like golf games and in-house movies at hotels.
But a judge overturned those convictions after he'd done some time.
Yes, but the DA, the LA County DA's office, is still very interested in maybe recharging those charges, and this is Omar Bradley's response to that.
Can you function as mayor if there's an ongoing, if you're being prosecuted again?
I could tell you I disagree with you, Saul. I think the biggest question is how dare that or any prosecutorial office try to damper the will of the people in a country based and bred on the Constitution? So if the voters of Compton have to literally worry that if we pick this man, someone will come and take him away and make us pick again, then that is not democracy.
Well, so there you go. What does Asia Brown have to say about the future of Compton?
She says if you're going to deal with Compton's problems, and there are a number of problems in Compton, particularly, you know, facing insolvency, but also relations with Latinos in the community. They now make up about 2/3 of Compton's population. She says if you want to solve those issues, improve Compton, you got to start at City Hall, and you got to start wearing green eye shades and really getting into the weeds in terms of how City Hall works. And here she is.
Definitely good government, good governance, transparency, and definitely a new image for the city of Compton. I think that over generations, we've had questionable leadership. We've had different mayors that have had a certain air about them. And so I think I definitely represent a new era in the city of Compton, and one that's forthright and definitely has the technical experience and the education, and more importantly, the relationships necessary to move Compton forward.
So to overuse a cliche, your new blood.
New blood and hopefully hope. And I always tell my residents when I speak to them that if Harlem can have a renaissance, I believe that Compton can too.
Really, you think it has the same potential as
Harlem? Absolutely. We have all of the tools and the resources necessary, but we just need good governance and some stern leadership and one that is inclusive and really builds coalitions and brings the community together instead of thriving on dividing them.
Omar Bradley says that's a tough town.
He says it's a tough town, but I want to emphasize something. I want to be fair to Compton. Compton of this year, of 2013, isn't the same Compton of 20 years ago. Violence is way down. There's been new investment. And I think people have an image of this town that, you know, you drive into it and you immediately hear shooting and see violence. That is not the case. On its surface, it looks just like any other community that surrounds it. But politics are tough in City Hall. They play hardball there. And this is Omar Bradley talking about that.
Hardball. Kill or be killed.
Pure Darwin, huh?
Yes. Strongest survive, the weak perish.
What happened to Perrodin, the current incumbent who was defeated in the primary?
Well, he got wrapped up in scandals as well. Again, anybody who steps into this office does not leave unsullied. I mean, there's a certain kind of political culture in Compton, in that city hall, and people say that is fundamental to the problems of this city, and that's what Asia Brown, and both Omar Bradley and Asia Brown are both running against City Hall. Omar Bradley says, though, I know the place from inside. I know how to clean it up. I know where to shine the light. Asia Brown says, no, you're part of the problem, former Mr. Mayor. I know how to do this as an outsider and as a younger person with fresher ideas.
He still has a constituency there.
He has a big constituency. You know, there's a lot of affection for the man. Even if people aren't going to vote for him, they like his flair. They like his charisma. It's a town, I must say, Warren, where it is very important if you're born there. Everybody brought that up. Omar Bradley grew up in this community. He went to Centennial High. He was a football star. He's never really left, except when he served prison time, actually, for his corruption charges. Asia Brown spent a few years outside of town. She grew up outside of Pasadena. And there are people who remember that. There are people who know that. And that's important to them, that she left and then came back.
Carpetbagger now.
Some might say that, but she would say I have a more expansive worldview. I'm a bit more cosmopolitan. I know how things work in other cities, and I can bring that knowledge back to this city that I love so much, and that I'm back to try to lead again.
Election's tomorrow.
Election is tomorrow. Turnout is probably going to be pretty low. One other thing I should mention, by the way, for city council candidates, Latinos, they're hoping to elect a Latino candidate as well, which, again, is so important to a community where 2/3 of the population is now Latino.
Okay. Again, Sal Gonzalez, always good to have you.
Thanks, Warren.